Amen. The last thing that we want to feel, you know, before we stand behind the pulpit and minister is pressure, challenge.
Amen.
I've been praying about this opportunity to preach today, and I've been working on different inspirations that the Lord has given me in the past few days. And I just want to be honest with you. My focus has been the situation in Kent, right? And as you all know, we are in the middle of, you know, things going on, transition and changes in leadership and all that. And then also in my wife's part, we are gearing to, you know, trying to feel after God and the direction and the ministry that Bishop talked about. And been praying for confirmation after confirmation, sign after sign, and you just don't want to miss the will of God, right? Who would want to miss the will of God? If you would go for the will of God, you want some, you know, some visuals, some things that you see, you know, the hand of God is there. And even if you have a little obscure scenario, but at least you have a direction, you know where you're going, and then it is your faith that will play the role to get you going and just follow after God's leading. And but again, while here we are, you know, in the next few months, we'll be, of course, in Kent and maybe traveling a little bit in different areas here in North America. But been feeling a burden for something that I'm really challenged. I really feel like, you know, it has to be passed on. Something that I really feel in my spirit that this is how God is going to help the situation and turn things around or improve, amen, in a way that will benefit the kingdom, will benefit the church, will benefit not only the ministry but everybody. And so I confess to you today that I had a couple of messages that was in my mind when Bishop asked me to preach here today. So there's a couple of messages that I'd like to share. But then coming here, driving towards this church, the service, I'm feeling like I'm gearing back to the same thoughts that I've been praying about and I've been thinking and, you know, about the situation in Kent. And so sitting back here, honestly, I was struggling a little bit and saying, so what do you want me to say, Lord? I prepared this and that, and I have, you know, those scriptures that I know spoke to me, but really? You want me to share that burden that I had in Kent? So I leaned on the bishop and said, I've been feeling this direction about Kent congregation, and I feel like I'm gearing to that same thought and direction today. Is that okay? And so he said, it's okay. My prayer today is that the burden that the Lord put in my heart for the Kent congregation is the same burden that I feel not only for that area, but for the church, for the Puyallup congregation, for everybody. Amen. And that the Lord will capture every heart and every thought, and that the Lord will speak and minister to everybody today. And if we allow the Lord to just speak to us and be honest to ourselves, I believe the Lord is trying to accomplish something for all of us. Why don't we all stand? I'd like to read a few scriptures. And we'll see where the Lord leads us. Amen. Let's start with Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house. Everybody say, every house. Daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Then in Acts chapter 20, I think that's in verse 20 also. Amen. Now this is the Apostle Paul. In verse 20, he said, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Amen. I taught you publicly from house to house. Why don't we pray? Lord Jesus, God, we thank you for the opportunity today for the Word of God to speak to us and minister to us, Lord. And my prayer, oh God, is that you keep our hearts open and our minds, that you capture every thought, and that you minister to us, Lord, as a church, as a body. You know the need of your church. You know the need of the ministries. You know the need of everybody, Lord. So we submit to you today, O God. Help us, Lord, your servant, to preach and pour out his burden. Hallelujah. And everybody said, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. You know, it's been many churches, and I'm not saying this church, hope you understand, I'm not trying to be specific to you when I say this. The philosophy of many churches, even to this day, has been different from the pattern of the New Testament church. And we all know about this, and we're all trying to help ourselves go to that same direction of the apostolic church. And so we are called apostolic. And we try not to be defined inside the walls of religiosity and traditionalism. And so we want to follow after God's Spirit, and we want the Word of God to speak to us, not just to read the Word, not just to memorize the Word, not just to have so many scriptures in our head so we can, you know, we can rehearse it and tell people that we know something. No, we try to follow after the Spirit of God as we read the Word. Amen. The letter can kill, the letter can cause divisions, but the Spirit, it is the one that giveth life. Amen. But for many churches, like I mentioned in the beginning, it's been a different philosophy that they follow, different from the pattern of the New Testament church. We always hear it whenever church invite people. They would invite people to come and hear. They would invite people to come hear the teaching of the word. We have a great Sunday school series, and please come to hear the teaching of the word. People will go out, and people will be encouraged in churches to go out and invite people to come and hear the preaching of the word. And whenever we have revival services and special locations, we go and we're encouraged to invite people to come and hear the preaching of an evangelist. Amen. It's always that principle. It's always that philosophy. Let's go out there. Amen. Go out there and invite people to come, and so they will hear. And so they will hear the teaching, and they will hear the preaching. Amen. But it hasn't been, when I checked in the scripture, in the word of God, in the apostolic church, it's not always been like that. It's never been like that. Actually, when we always hear that, please come and hear. Please come in a church. Please come and fellowship with us and hear the preaching and hear the teaching. In contrary, the Bible says, the scripture says, in the apostolic church, the method that they use in evangelism is go and teach out there. Go and witness out there. Go and reach out to souls. Go and teach. Go ye into the world, which is the great commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go ye and teach into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Again, teaching them. In the church? In the church facilities? No, it says teaching them as we go out, as we go out into the world. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Amen. Go ye and teach. We don't see it in the scripture. And the commandment, the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is to motivate and encourage and push the disciples to invite people to come to the temple and hear. To come to the temple and hear the ministry of the word. No, it's always go. Go. Go and tell. Go and preach. Go and teach. I'm not saying that ministry is supposed to diminish and there's supposed to be no more preaching and teaching in the church. Amen. But they do that for the believers that come to the temple, for the believers that come to the synagogue, and that's where they open and read the scroll and they minister to the believers, to those who are their understandings already open to the word of God. Amen. But in order to reach the world, amen, in order to take our mandate into the world, the commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, go and teach. Go and teach. Amen. It probably is a lame example or illustration if I say, you know, it's a sad thing. When we invite people to come to church, it's like setting up an appointment with the fish and the fisherman. Instead of go out fishing and where the fish are and put your bait in, we set up an appointment, get the facilities ready and all the things that's needed for the gathering, because the fish and the fishermen are coming together. Well, some fish might bite the bait. or might come for the invitation. But home Bible study works every time. Amen. Every time they gather together, the Bible says, amen. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly. They in every temple, in every house, house to house, ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, hallelujah. They're out there, going on house to house, breaking bread, praying, but teaching and preaching Jesus Christ unto the people. Amen. When in fact, in I believe in Acts chapter 5, with their doctrine, with their teaching, with them going out and house to house and teaching Jesus Christ, they filled the city and turned Jerusalem upside down with their doctrine. Even the priests and many influential people in the city were converted to the faith because I read it through and it didn't seem like it's just the apostles. It's just those who were, you know, those the chosen few that were ordained by Jesus Christ who went out there. No, it's the whole church. Amen. When we read from the beginning how about 3,000 souls were added to church, the next thing we know is, and they continued. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And they went on house to house. Amen. And I'm trying to imagine the scenario. I'm like, wow. It blows my mind. I'm like, those thousands of people are out in the streets and going on house to house and teaching and witnessing and preaching about Jesus Christ. Even to the point when they will get arrested and they'll put to jail, but then they will be warned not to speak about Jesus anymore. But when they get out, amen, they will still teach and preach the name of Jesus. They will get arrested again, but then they get out. And the same thing, it's like it's the norm. It became the norm that everybody knows their position and their purpose as a church. Amen. It's like the normal talk every time they sit down together as saints. Where are we going today? Where have you been yesterday? Who did you talk to? Who did you witness to? Which house were you in yesterday? Oh, I've been to 12 houses yesterday. It was fun. It was great. Those people received the Lord and we baptized them. Amen. The first day we know 3,000 souls were added. 2 or 3 chapters down the road, another 5,000 souls were added. And the only way it's possible is all of them as a church. As a church. Amen. They're out there. House to house. They ceased not. Not only on, all right, church, it's outreach day this Saturday. So, mark your calendar. It's outreach day. They ceased not, amen, to teach and preach Jesus Christ, house to house. So the Apostle Paul, he was the greatest missionary, I believe, in the New Testament times. But I like what he said in verse 20 of Acts chapter 20. He said, I didn't hold anything. I said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Wow. There was a time I thought the Apostle Paul was just, you know, being a missionary, he will stop at one point and then he will get into one house and wait for people to come and gather in that house and then start a church. But he established many churches. But he gave us and disclosed to us his simple method, the way he evangelized and the way he teach and the way he reach out to others, to the lost. He taught in public, house to house. House to house. And I believe with the disciples that he had with him or around him, because they're seeing it from the leader, from the Apostle Paul. So here, they were, amen, copying the same thing. There's some other scriptures telling us about the effectivity of going to a home and doing a home Bible study. Again, I'm saying this because I feel like there's something that needs to be established in the ministry of, you know, in Kent congregation that I'll have to pass on, or while I'm here, we're gonna be focusing on that. It's something that, you know, I will get everybody to, you know, be united in this purpose and this ministry and support the ministry of the church and not just being contented and happy sitting in the church. Amen. They're blessed in the fellowship. They love to be in church. They love to hear the singing. They love to hear the preaching of the word. Amen. But the mandate of the church, the purpose of the church, why he hasn't called us yet to our home in heaven, is because God has a purpose for each and everyone to reach our world. Amen. I want you to imagine with me, if you will. Why don't we take a walk? Take a walk. I'll take you for a walk. In a neighborhood, you choose what neighborhood you want to go. Let's take a walk. Around this church here, downtown Puyallup, where do you want to go? Meridian? Highlands? Sumner, Buckley, or let's even go downtown Seattle. Amen. Let's pick a neighborhood. What neighborhood do you choose? We'll take a walk. Now let's pick a block. Which block in that neighborhood? What street? And when we get there, why don't we pick a house? Let's choose a house. All right. This house down the street. All right, let's take a walk. Let's stop at that house. It's a beautiful house. A beautiful rambler house. The siding is brick. Big windows. They have a clean, manicured yard. with water sprinkler running. There's a dog running in the lawn in the front yard, and there's this kid chasing the dog. There's another kid you can see through the window playing games, video games. Amen. That's the common scenario. That's a typical scenario. Amen. And you say, wow, what a beautiful house. Now, the statistics show that it is the American dream. We have the husband and wife both have a job because it takes two earners to survive as a family, unless, you know, just one spouse only. One income is enough, you know, and that's very rare. But typically, the common statistics show that husband and wife both work together. They have a job, and they raise the kids. Maybe they have a babysitter. Maybe they take them to daycare and all that thing. Amen. But then they come to the house, and sometimes they come late at night. But we look at the pictures like, wow, that's typical. They have two cars in the driveway. There's a boat, and there's an RV parked in the side. That's an American dream. And that's typical. It's a common scenario. Amen. But if we read statistics for families and homes in the United States, there's a grim reality that we need to understand. It's not as happy as we thought. It's not as good as we thought the picture is when we paint and when we look from the outside. Amen. Statistics show that the parents will work harder and will try to earn more and will work overtime and will have pressures and in different areas because of the situations and their bills and for their schooling of the kids and for the situation in the job and their family to get them together and find the quality time for them to have. It's not common. Statistics show that the pressure and the stress will attack the parents. And pretty soon the kids will grow and the kids will get involved. Let's say one of them, statistics shows out of two, one of them will get involved in drugs by adolescents. And this situation will cause strain and stress and some emotional problems with the parents. And they will keep talking about how to resolve, how to fix, and how to help the situation. And they will try different resources. And it seems like in the common statistics on the average families in the United States, the pressures and the stress will cause strain in the marriage. It seems like it's all adding up and accumulating and the fighting happens. The argument happens. The blame happens. Amen. And statistics show the next scenario will be the marriage is doomed. They could not cope with their situation anymore. It's too difficult for them to handle something that they blame each other for, something that is common happening in average homes in America. Then the kids will get involved in all different things. It happens. Some infidelities in marriage. And imagine the possibilities, the scenarios that happens, the chain reaction of things. That's a grim fact. The beautiful home, the picture that we painted in our mind in the beginning, standing in front of a house. Oh, this is a beautiful house. Oh, I think this will sell this much. Oh, look at that. There's the couple. There's the kids. There's the dog. They have two vehicles. They have a truck and they have a boat. They have an RV. And, wow, look at that. But get inside. I'm not talking about your home. I'm not talking about your family. But I, like I said, walk with me. Walk with me. I want you to open your mind and imagine what we encounter in homes out there and the houses and the families out there. It gets more complicated. Now, before you paint the picture, story of these families, before you anticipate or conclude with a scenario that will be, you know, tragedy after tragedy, and you feel like, ooh, that will happen. Oh, that's a possibility. Oh, that happened already. I see that this happened all the time, and I can't imagine. But before we go there, amen, I want you to imagine that scenario is caused by evil forces that devastated the home and introduce this and that and alter their priorities and they make them to look at the things that instead of helping them is complicating their situation. Amen. But before we conclude to that tragedy or the next worst situation, I want you to stop first. And think of, what if I'm able to get in to that house? What if I find a way to knock on the door and introduce myself as a Christian and my purpose of introducing a Bible study? We might not get 50 out of 100 houses that we approach to. We might not get even 10. But even if we get one, amen, that one opportunity for one family, one house, will make a difference to the family. I mean, we can salvage the marriage. We can salvage the children going into drugs. We can salvage the situation of getting ripped by the things that they thought is right, but it's not helping them. The only help that we have is back from the original, how God designed a beautiful family from the beginning of time. Amen. That is the only way. Amen. And here we are. We are just one decision away to get involved in the program, in the plan of God, to reach the world and reach families and marriages and children from being doomed and getting into the wrong decision. Here we are, one decision away, amen, to get the most inspiring, the most exciting, the most rewarding ministry that will cause us to be satisfied with our position in the kingdom of God. Bringing one soul after soul into the kingdom. Amen. After we sit down, witness, teach, Amen. Looking at you, and I can read some minds here today. I'm not a mind reader, but the way you react. Amen. Sounds easy, Brother Laksamana. It's easier said than done. We've been hearing this all the time. And we tried. It's not as easy as what you think. I agree with that. It's not easy for me. Amen. But if we stop doing this purpose, what is left for us is the picture of a church that is satisfied and happy and contented in fellowship and hearing the word and being blessed with the songs and the move of the Spirit. Out there. Amen. We can do better than this. Amen. If we are to expand the building, if we are to put a mezzanine or a second floor, we do our job, God will do his job. Not trying to plan a guilty trip or guilt trip for everybody, but again, it's just the burden in my heart. As a people, there's something we can do if we unite ourselves in one common agenda, in one common purpose, understanding the direction and the will of God for us as a church. Amen. As a church. I understand that as a church, we have needs. We need to have a building. We need to have, best instruments and media technology and, great pews and carpet. And we need money and we need a lot of things. Amen. We need a lot of equipments. We need a lot of what is needed to function as a church. But if, when it comes to growing a church, there's nothing compared to as a church going out there with a single purpose in our mind, single agenda for everybody. I've got to find which house I'm going to go to this week. Which person I'm going to ask to invite me for a home Bible study in their house. I'm going to look for an opportunity, and I pray that God will lead me to that opportunity, to where he can use me. Pastor, I'm not qualified. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an elder in the church, but you have repented of your sins. You have been baptized in Jesus' name. You have been filled with the Holy Ghost, living a holy and prayerful lifestyle. You have something to share. We all have something to draw our soul into. The hungry and the afflicted soul. Amen. This world is hurting. Amen. And we're having fun in the church. I was standing back here, and the Lord just, again, it's not for this congregation, I hope. You don't get me wrong, but the Lord just gave me a song, and it's an old song. I remember we did a drama. I did a drama. I directed this play in the church and in our district back in the Philippines. And it's a beautiful song that I will never, ever forget. It's like ingrained in my soul. every time I talk about this subject. And I Googled it, and I thought I'd share to you. This is the song from, you remember Lanny Wolf, old days, old schoolers here, you know. Amen. He said, there is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on his table, and no one turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by. But a hush comes the singing as the father sadly cries. He went on into the chorus and said, my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields. No one wants to work in my fields. Push away from the table, look out through the window pane. Just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain. And it's ripe, white, and to harvest. Oh, but the reapers, where are they? There in the house. Oh, can't the children hear the father sadly say, my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields. Nothing replaces the effectivity and success of Bible study method. Amen. Bible study method. I appreciate those Bible study teachers who have home Bible studies out there. But allow me to pass on, pour out my burden, me included. Amen. As we live in the last days, I believe God would like to stir his family, his church, and made them to look out in the field. And we see the field is white already for harvest. And the Lord would speak to you today and ask, who would go with me today? Remember the only prayer request of our Lord? We keep praying and praying all the time with a long list of prayer requests, but the Lord has one prayer request. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the field. Why don't we stand and let's pray for a minute. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. There is a reason why I'm still here, oh God, for years and years after I have been born into the kingdom of God. I have a mandate for the lost. I have a purpose for the lost world. I am a saint filled with your spirit and your word in my heart. I have something to share out there. Oh, Jesus, I pray. We pray, oh, Lord God, that You lay this burden into every heart, not only for the ministers, not only for the Bible study teachers, oh God, to continue to inspire them, but for everybody, oh Lord Jesus. Oh God, help us, Lord. Challenge us, oh God. Send us, oh Lord. Lord, I want you to see hearts that will raise their hands and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me, Lord. Send me, Lord. Yakatarala moho korolo bo iarabaha katarala hatarala. Yoho kotorolo bo iarabaha katarala handarakata. Yoko toro lobo iya raba hakatara labo iya hatara lama. It brings me back to how it was many years ago. And the Lord keeps taking me back there to that journey many years ago when I graduated from Bible college. My wife and I, we went to a remote area and started a church. For 5.5 years, we were there before they sent us to Hong Kong as missionaries. For 5.5 years, none of us had a job. None of us had a source of income. It's all by faith and the burden. We didn't have anything. When we left for Hong Kong after 5.5 years, we established 5 daughter churches and soon became autonomous churches in different cities. Somebody asked me, how'd you do that? What were your resources? What instrument, what equipment, what facility you had? How much money you had for your fund to open and establish those ministries? And I always have one answer to all of those questions. I say, I had none of that. I had one thing. I had a prayer closet. Every time I get to that prayer closet, the Lord will lay that burden in me. About every time I get out in the streets, I'll see souls. Souls laughing, souls screaming, souls seems like having fun, but God makes me to see those souls are also marching towards destruction. And I can't help it but to approach and keep talking to people and ask for Bible studies and get to their home and be a friend to them. And next thing we know, God allowed me my ministry to flourish. And the Lord will bring me back there. I said, Lord, it's not too late to do it again. Bishop.
I'd like to open this altar. Would you come and avail yourself honestly before the Lord? Hallelujah. Here I am, Lord. Send me.
Thank you.